on March 16th, St. Patrick's Day Eve. And while Irish eyes are smiling, we're going to have a little Russian music. New by Alexander Korazov. It's Kostchok, I think, with a touch of laughing in the middle.
Pleasure for me, what is new to American, to exciting myself with this St. Patrick's Day parade with horses and policemen and taxi cab drivers. So I wish it done to you a happy St. Patrick's Day.
Part of the Irishman was played by Artie Johnson. For a free translation of this program, write to Merkle Press. They won't understand it either, so forget it. Monitor's college poll this week reports on the movies and the student. Here's Bill Ryan, NBC News.
Movies are as much a part of the life of today's college student as they were one or two generations ago, but they mean much more now. In earlier times, movies may have been dating excuses or mechanisms only. Now, they are also part of curricula. More than 30 colleges have courses on motion pictures as an art form. Uncounted numbers of students produce their own movies for college credit, self-expression, and/or pleasure. College poll asks students, what single motion picture had the greatest impact on you during the last year? The largest single response cited The Graduate, a film of current-day youngsters, love, and the generations beyond right now, a film which starred Dustin Hoffman. Rosemary's Baby was cited next, then came in this order, Sound of Music, Space Odyssey 2001, and Camelot. The Graduate hit a Miami University senior this way. It tells the story of our generation in a way that enables us to relate to the characters and the situations. We could understand his dilemmas and his hopes and fears. A student from Ohio State said, "We don't like films that merely say boy meets girl. That's why we don't enjoy films the way our parents do. They go to movies for sentimental reasons, mostly. The college man and his date go to films to become involved in the story and to have empathy with the characters. That college students should doubt or disbelieve that older persons do the same is perhaps a revelation. But asked about The Graduate, the Ohio State man said this, "That picture said it all, baby, every bit of it." The student surveyed indicated reviews do not make on-campus hits. A Tufts English major studying film said, "Critics don't always agree with students on what a good picture is." 68% of the students surveyed cited word of mouth as the prime reason for seeing a film. A Georgetown sophomore said, "If a picture is really good, the word goes around fast, and the theater will be packed. Many of the festival winners and those on the Academy Awards lists are duds on campus. They have to have something to say and say it as it is. Okay, producers, you have your campus direction. Lights, camera, action. Bill Ryan, NBC News, for Monitor.
Daddy started out in San Francisco, tooting on his trumpet loud and mean.
Suddenly a voice said, go for it, Daddy, split a picture out of wide and sneak.
And the voice said, Daddy, there's a million pigeons, well, we hope on new religions. Hit the road, Daddy, leave you coming along, wife. Spread the religion of the rhythm of life. And the rhythm of life is a powerful beat. It's a tingle in your fingers and a tingle in your feet. Rhythm in your bedroom, rhythm in the street. Yes, the rhythm of life is a powerful beat.
To feel the rhythm of life,
to feel the powerful beat. To feel the tingle in your fingers, to feel the tingle in your feet. Daddy, go, 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 go.
Daddy spread the gospel in Milwaukee, took his walkie-talkie to Rocky Ridge. Blew his way to Canton, then to Scranton, till he landed under the Manhattan Bridge.
Daddy was a new sensation, got himself a congregation, built up quite an operation down below.
With the fire pipe a-blowing, while the mustard bell was blowing, all the cats were go-go-going
down below.
Daddy had a
to your daddy, take a dive and swim to your daddy. Hit the floor and call to your
daddy.
Yeah,
yeah.
Let me hear it.
Yeah.
Rock it to me.
Yeah.
Let it all hang out. Yeah.
Sammy Davis Jr. and the Rhythm of Life. Later today on Monitor, there'll be more on the problems of the post office and the customers thereof. And we'll hear about St. Patrick's Day in Ireland from Mrs. Rosaline Cahill Fitzgibbon, who came over from the old country 22 years ago. And I guess she'll be marching up Fifth Avenue tomorrow. Tune in this evening to Old Monitor.
Stay right here on NBC.
At 16 before the hour, you're on the Monitor Beacon.
Tomorrow, during Macy's all-store, all-floor spring sale, discover great buys on famous Maytag washers and dryers and 1969 Zenith TVs. Tomorrow for one day only, Macy's sale prices over $57,000 worth of fine Maytag washers and dryers. Pick your cycle or your speed. Tomorrow only, for example, you can purchase a famous Maytag washer for as little as $149. And for more remarkable values, see Macy's special sale prices tomorrow on a huge collection of slimline all-channel Zenith TVs. Save on color, save on black and white. Take home a 1969 Zenith portable, compact, lowboy, or rollabout TV. Choose from several screen sizes. Find everything from a personalized portable to a luxurious TV console. Some Zenith sets have automatic fine-tuning, some have remote control. But come early for your biggest TV selection. Charge it on your Macy account. Look for these great sales of famous Maytag washers and dryers and 1969 Zenith TVs tomorrow during Macy's store-wide spring sale at the Macy's near you.
WNBC, Radio 660, New York. Barbara Streisand with a goodie, Frank Mills.
I met a boy called Frank Mills on September 12th right here in front of Waverly. But unfortunately, I did.
Monitor's feature story, The Problems of the Post Office, has covered a lot of territory this weekend. And that's one of the problems, the amount of territory in this country. Jay Miller reports from Tucson on how the mail's getting through in the Great Southwest.
We're in the midst of an explosion, said a postal official who prefers to remain anonymous, and we're doing our best just to stay even. This comment summarizes the problems of the post office in the American Southwest, where the population growth of some cities have increased tenfold in the past 30 years. Basically, the post office's problems here to seem to be working space or lack of it, big distances, radically changing forms of transportation, widely scattered delivery areas, lack of help, and low priority for automated equipment. For example, the space problem, which is closely related to the population growth, has caused some Tucson post offices built only 6 or 8 years ago to become hopelessly overcrowded and thus obsolete. New construction takes time, and congressional approval is sometimes hard to come by. Changing transportation has also not helped. 10 years ago, there were 10,000 railway cars carrying mail. Today, there are only 700. Instead of railroads, the mail now often rides on trucks or trucks carried piggyback by trains. Largely gone of the days when mail was sorted en route in a railway post office. Now a lot of it rides in a sealed truck and needs sorting at the destination. True, some of the first-class mail going to destinations over 250 miles away gets airlifted, like airmail, but an increase of 3 billion pieces of mail per year is offsetting many of these gains. Simply put, more people are getting more mail than ever before. And in the Southwest are a number of the nation's remaining 33,000 rural carriers who often overcome muddy roads, blizzards, and/or rattlesnakes to reach distant ranches and farms. Jay Miller reporting for Monitor from Tucson.
Well, guess I'd rather worry about dogs biting me than rattlesnakes. We'll have a report on the Postal Inspection Service and what it discovers in the mail after a little music. Grammy Award winners, Galveston. Postal inspectors are stationed in 400 major cities in this country. Unlike most government workers, they have no fixed hours of duty. They are called on at any time, and it's their duty to protect the United States mails. This takes them to the scene of every catastrophe, floods, fires, storms, train and plane wrecks. Carl Stern, NBC News, Washington, reports on how the postal inspectors handle frauds in the mail.
The oldest federal investigative agency is the Postal Inspection Service. It dates back to Benjamin Franklin. There are almost 1,200 postal inspectors. They are empowered to investigate crimes against the Postal Service and crimes committed by mail. For example, mail fraud complaints have doubled in the last 5 years. There were 150,000 last year. About 5,000 mail schemes were shut down by the postal inspectors. Chief Postal Inspector Henry Montague says his most gratifying victory has been against land fraud schemes.
About 5 years ago, these schemes were in full bloom. It seemed as though land fraud schemes were cropping up all over the country, particularly in the Midwest and down south. The ads of the promoters were directed particularly to retired people and also to people who were looking for vacation spots. In many instances, the people who were the victims of the land frauds were at least able to afford to lose the money.
What were the elements of the fraud?
Well, they would put on their brochures pictures of lakes and mountains indicating that there were all types of activities and recreation in the area that they were advertising, that there was water nearby, that there were utilities at the site, that all of the things that you would need for comfortable living were there and would be supplied, when in fact, in many cases, the land was on desert, with no utilities, no water, none of the things that you need for normal living available within the area.
Chief Postal Inspector Henry Montague. About four or five types of offense consume most of the postal inspector's time, such as fraudulent charities and people who order goods through the mail without intending to pay for them. New gimmicks include the missing air racket, in which a firm says it is trying to locate someone with the same last name as yours who was left $20,000 by his uncle. For $10, they say, they'll find out if you could be the missing heir. They'll write the same letter to 10,000 other Kellys or Snyders or whatever. The other new gimmick is the do-it-at-home racket. One felt baby shoe company, supposedly looking for ladies who could sew at home, got 60,000 of them to mail in $2.50 apiece for a sample sewing test. The ladies were turned down and out $2.50. It's alleged the promoter had no real shoe business. Chief Inspector Montague says promoter boldness is increasing. For example, thousands of people responded to an ad that just said, "Last chance, send $1. That's all it said. The fact that a promoter could run such an ad, knowing some people would respond, is what keeps the postal inspectors busy. Carl Stern, NBC News, Washington.
Of course, not even the postal inspector can protect people against stupidity. If you take that last chance to send a dollar, you deserve to lose it. More reports on the good old P.O. later on Monitor. always something there to remind me. News is next, I remind you. This is Morgan for Monitor.